Welcome to the DMD edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the Duchenne muscular dystrophy community.
Hello, this is Larry Luxner, special correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. We're at the MDA's 2023 Clinical and Scientific Conference in Dallas, talking with Chris Curran of Ridgefield, Connecticut. Chris and his wife, Jessica, have a 12-year-old son, Connor, with Duchenne muscular dystrophy. In 2016, a year after Connor was diagnosed, the Currans started a nonprofit advocacy group called Kindness Over Muscular Dystrophy. Thanks for talking with us today, Chris. Tell us a bit about your organization and why you started it.
So we started our organization, Kindness Over Muscular Dystrophy, pretty much shortly after we were first diagnosed. And we were diagnosed in White Plains, New York. You know, the doctor had told us, take home your son, love him. You know, there's not much you could do. And I was there, I had all this research and hope and said, well, I read this about gene therapy that's in the pipeline. I read this about gene editing, CRISPR in the future. And unfortunately he just said, that's too far out in the future. And I'm sorry, but you just want to give him a good life. We did not want to accept that as an answer. We refused. So we went to we did some research and we found a Muscular Dystrophy Association Care Center. And when we went to the Muscular Dystrophy Association Care Center at Johns Hopkins, we learned the exact opposite. They gave us the information and the knowledge that there is hope for our son. Gene therapy is around the corner. He might be able to participate in a trial within the next 3 to 4 years that could change his life. So thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association, they really got us pointed in the right direction.
Why do you think your doctor originally gave you such a negative prognosis?
Oh man, that's a good question. I feel like they are not a certified care center. They don't see enough patients, Duchenne patients. They probably, we asked them, how many patients of Duchenne do you follow? They said 6. And then when I started doing research and I got introduced to the MDA, I said, okay, we want to see somebody that sees 600 Duchenne patients.
Of course. We've heard this kind of story over and over again, where parents are given such a dismal prognosis that they just go home and cry. And a lot of them have done exactly what you did, start their own advocacy group to fight for a cure. Talk about your journey and how it's been since you started the organization, and particularly your work with advocacy at both the state and federal level.
Absolutely, Larry. Well, first, we did actually go home and cry. It was devastating to hear that news. We probably, my wife and I, hid under a rock for about a month, and we said to ourselves, this is no way to live. We can't do this. This is not going to help our son, Connor. We need to fight. We need to get into action. And that's when we decided we needed to form an organization called Kindness Over Muscular Dystrophy so we could help the Muscular Dystrophy Association fund some of these important gene therapy projects. Once we sprung into action, we also got involved into some advocacy work. Jess and I have been going down to Washington, D.C. and meeting with our local Congress and senators, and we have been advocating for larger funding from the CDC and the NIH specifically for Duchenne muscular dystrophy. Unfortunately, there's just not enough funding. We also advocate, you know, there's a line item out of the Department of the Defense, which is CDMRP, Congressionally Directed Medical Research Program. We recently were able to get that raised from $10 million a year to $15 million a year. Now, this is specifically for Duchenne muscular dystrophy. But it's really thanks to all the Muscular Dystrophy Association's hard work and all the advocacy work that they did and encouragement that they gave us to go there, stand up in front of our representatives, and ask for this important funding.
So when it comes to patient advocacy groups, there are few rare diseases that are more represented than Duchenne. MDA, Cure Duchenne, Parent Project Muscular Dystrophy, Team Joseph, we can name a dozen groups right off the top of our head for organizations that are specifically dealing with Duchenne muscular dystrophy. What distinguishes your organization from the others?
So, to be honest, we're very similar to all of them, and we have worked in collaboration with every single one of those organizations. We've collaborated with Team Joseph, we've collaborated with the Jet Foundation, we've collaborated with MDA, we've collaborated with Parent Project, and we've collaborated with Cure Duchenne. You know, I think what's important is that we all work together. We're here to fight the same thing, and sometimes in this space, you could have, you know, one organization wants to go one way, one organization wants to go another way. I think if we all work together, that's how we're going to be able to really make a difference and stop this terrible disease. So I like to work and collaborate with all of those organizations. You know, they're, I think it's important that we do. And I feel like we're all on the common path, and we're not different. We're the same. And we should work together, because that, if we do, we're going to be able to end this sooner.
And on that note, we have some big news, of course, talking about Sarepta and its likelihood that first gene therapy ever for Duchenne will be approved within a few months. Talk about that.
Yes, very exciting news. Absolutely amazing. Our son Connor actually was the first patient to receive the Pfizer's version of the gene therapy. Very similar. Very similar results. We have firsthand knowledge of what an amazing drug that this really is.
Did you know at the time that he was getting it, or a placebo?
We did. We knew at the time because it was a phase one portion of the study. So it was really the safety portion.
So it was not placebo controlled?
It was not. It was drug only. So we had taken some videos that I'm happy to share with you of Connor before he received the gene therapy and Connor 3 months after he received the gene therapy. And in the videos you'll see, he really struggles going up the stairs before he received this amazing therapy.
At what age?
This was at age 8 when he was, or 7, I'm sorry, 7.
And so Pfizer's gene therapy made an immediate difference?
Immediate difference, absolutely. And very similar, and Sarepta and Pfizer had very similar results. We're so happy that Sarepta is going to be under the FDA review. We also have talked to lots of parents and know of many parents that are in both the Pfizer study and both the Sarepta study and as well as the Solid study. And honestly, all three of them, it's pretty amazing. And we know because they measured their dystrophin levels, right? So we know that their dystrophin, they're producing dystrophin now. Sarepta showed this, Pfizer showed this, and Solid showed this. And then their North Star assessment, which are the functional tests, everything got better. And in Duchenne, you don't get better. You just get worse and worse and worse. It's a steady, predictable decline. So to actually get a little bit better is amazing. And we are very excited for Sarepta, and we hope that it gets approved. But know that in the same token, that it's not a cure, and we need to figure out redosing, because now Connor, 5 years post, is starting to, you know, he was great. And it held into his body for about 4.5 years, and he started to slowly decline again. So I know that redosing is going to be important. We have to figure out a way to redose because we're using a viral vector.
My understanding is that with gene therapy, you can't redose. It's a one-time thing only.
Yeah, so at the moment, that is partially true, but the scientists and doctors are working extremely hard to change that. They're working on non-viral vectors so that you could just repeat administration as many times as you'd like, as well as viral vectors, but they're going to try to suppress the immune system using plasmapheresis and other methods. And they're working on that right now. I know Sarepta's working on that right now. I know Pfizer's working on that right now, because they're right at the doorstep for approval, and they're going to need to help these kids in 5, 6, 7, 8 years when they're going to need to be redosed.
It sounds to me like you have some scientific background.
I don't. I mean, I just from when my son was diagnosed, you know, we hit the books hard. And we learned a lot about Duchenne.
So pretty much everything you know is self-taught since the diagnosis?
Correct.
I see. Let's talk a bit about advocacy, and specifically on the federal level. Duchenne is not among the conditions approved for a newborn screening. Are you working to change that?
We are working very hard to change that. It's critically important that we get that on the list, because we need to start interventions as soon as possible. We have new drugs coming in the pipeline. When we were first diagnosed, there was 10. Now we have 50, thanks to the work that the Muscular Dystrophy Association has been doing. And we need to be able to get these kids these drugs as fast as possible. And without newborn screening, you know, we're wasting time, and it's not giving these kids a fair chance to be able to get the treatment that they deserve.
Well, had you known that Connor had Duchenne when he was born, how might things have changed?
Well, we would have started therapy earlier, and, you know, there are things like we probably would have started him on steroids earlier, which could have helped him potentially walk longer. Now, for Connor, he was lucky to get the gene therapy, right? So, but for other children that get diagnosed later in life, if they were to get diagnosed earlier because of the newborn screening, yes, it could extend their walking 2 to 3 years, mm-hmm. which is everything to these kids at 9 years old.
Well, not only that, also from an emotional point of view, it makes a huge difference.
100%. Connor, you know, when he got the gene therapy, and my wife tells the story often, that he said to us, "This is awesome. I can actually play with my friends. I don't have to sit on the sideline and watch them anymore." And I mean, that just brought so much joy to me and my wife, because that's all you want as a parent, you know, and to see them on the sideline watching their friends play sports and just sad and come home and cry, it's the worst feeling in the world as a parent.
What can he do now that he couldn't do before?
So now he can play on the playground, you know, he can go up the stairs, and now, you know, now that's starting to go down. But after gene therapy, for the first 4 years, he could almost do as much as all the other kids.
So do you foresee a scenario in which 3 or even 4 companies can all have approved gene therapies for Duchenne?
Absolutely. I do. I think Sarepta is going to be the first, which is incredible. And I think that Pfizer is probably not going to be far behind, because they both have amazing results.
So once you have more than one therapy on the market, prices will conceivably come down.
Yes, which is great for the entire Duchenne community. And that's why we advocate, my wife and I, and that's why we're here at the Muscular Dystrophy Association conference.
So besides Pfizer, you're expecting Solid?
Correct, and I think Solid will probably be right behind Pfizer. You know, so it's a beautiful thing, and it can help keep prices down, which can help access. And that's going to be the next hurdle that we have to overcome, obviously.
In Connor's case, what is his specific deletion?
It's exon 33.
Which, of course, is not covered by anything now on the market.
That's correct. It's a more rare mutation, so he doesn't have as many options as some other kids with more common mutations.
And is he currently on steroids?
He is.
And besides that, anything else? Obviously the IP, but besides that.
No, I mean, we give him some vitamins and CoQ10, and, you know, it's pretty much the standard of care for Duchenne.
What about emotional issues?
So, you know, before therapy, there were a lot of emotional issues. And like I said before, it was really tough for Connor to see his friends and just not be able to participate. And then just after gene therapy, you know, the emotional issues went away. Now, obviously, you know, it is starting to get a little harder, but he can still do a little more than he could in the past. So we're still 5 years in, really happy with his emotional well-being. But it's not like that for every kid with Duchenne. And I want it to be like that for every kid in Duchenne, because every kid with Duchenne deserves that.
And since he's 12 years old, how much does he himself know about the disease?
So a lot. Jess and I, you know, we were told at a Muscular Dystrophy Association conference for our fellow parents that, you know, the best thing you could do, in our opinion, is be open with your son. You do not want him to find this on Google or have their friend tell them, like, "My mom said that you might die when you're 25 years old." You know, I'd rather tell him and say, "You know what, Connor? Google is a little outdated right now because of what Sarepta and Pfizer and Solid and the Muscular Dystrophy Association are doing. So you are going to be potentially are going to have a different life. You can see that because look at the video of yourself before you had the therapy and look at the video of yourself after. Google doesn't have that information yet, but one day they will.
We should all hope so. Thank you very much, Chris, for talking with us. This is Larry Luxner for Rare Disease Advisor.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.